much for that sideline interview with Chug Champ Dan Bernstein here at the Budweiser Brick House. Very impressive showing. I will say that, you know what? Could we also, Dan, if you wouldn't mind switching hats, could we also get a sideline interview of Connor McKnight with you as the interviewer? Because there are some questions that have to be asked of McKnight.
Dan Bernstein down on the field as Connor McKnight is absorbing a difficult loss, not even finishing. The question has to be asked, Connor, how much did the injury contribute to the obvious struggles you had out there?
Well, you know, Dan, I'm a left-handed drinker, so it was a little difficult to go to the right hand this morning. You know, I picked the beer and thought I had things lined up as best I could, but, you know, sometimes circumstances are outside your control, and, you know, I don't want to blame other people, but it's not my fault, you know? I just think that, you know, you break a wrist like this, and you got to point fingers everywhere you can. In this case, I point them everywhere with Budweiser because they make a fine product, and it's everyone else's fault.
At any point did you think of withdrawing, and why did you actually decide to go through with trying?
Well, it's beer, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, it's beer, and I like beer. I thought it was an opportunity to have a beer, so I figured that, you know, even if I did get into this and suffer the horrifying loss that I did, I would be one beer in. You see how that works? Like, when you see the way it works, Dan, is when you drink a beer, you've then consumed a beer, and my challenge every day is to consume more of those than the next person. Do you understand how this? Okay, right, great. I just want you to stay following along. So more of those drank is better. I hope you can follow that.
That's Connor McKnight. We expect to see him face down on the floor any moment here on Sports Radio 670. Let's send it back up to Lawrence in the booth.
Dan, thank you very much. Our coverage continues here of the chugging competition at the Budweiser Brick House, where Dan Bernstein has come out victorious. And there have been some rumblings from outside of the competition of an actual challenge that will take place. There's already been a diss track video put up by one Herb Lawrence saying that he is the king, that has been disputed here at the Budweiser Brick House by one Shane Reardon, who says, look, I have beaten that guy, although we have now learned that that was not a sanctioned title fight. So therefore, he cannot claim himself to be champion. So that's going to wrap it up for our coverage here. Again, Dan Bernstein, surprisingly, with the upset, and now he is going to eat the delicious food here at the Budweiser Brick House to absorb his championship chugging. A big thank you to our own Mike Chen and Christopher Dickens for their hard work and dedication and actually finishing their beers. We'd also like to thank Connor McKnight for giving it a game try as he gives a salute of birds to us here in the broadcasting booth.
Wait, Lawrence, one second. We may have the champion calling in now. Here's current champion Herb Lawrence.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go out to the score hotline brought to you by Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles. We go out to a reigning Chug champion Herb Lawrence here on the score. Herbie, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How you doing, Lawrence?
I'm doing really well. I'd love to know what your opinion is of what you just witnessed here on the score airwaves.
I actually, I don't know what happened. I was out of it, you know, because Miller High Life really took me out, Lawrence. I've been drunk ever since, so I don't know what happened with the score on the score airwaves.
Well, here at the Budweiser Brick House, Dan Bernstein took out Mike Chen, Christopher Dickens, and Connor McKnight. At this time, would you feel comfortable challenging Dan Bernstein at some later date for your title?
I mean, seriously. How those people lose to Dan Bernstein? Were we chugging wine?
No, they were chugging Budweiser, and he destroyed them. It wasn't close. Like, it wasn't a photo finish. He destroyed them, especially Connor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for the belt. You know, I'm always willing to put it up. You know, Shane says he can beat me. I mean, he tried the one time, but Dan Bernstein wants that title. He can come for the belt.
All right. It's on.
Let's go. All right, Bernstein said you've been ducking him, and just so we can clear this up before we get off the air, Shane Reardon has said that your title is in dispute. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
Slander. Him and I had a chugging thing late night after a long shift that I was working. and I wasn't ready for the chug. You know, I got to get prepared for, you know, that mastery you saw on Twitter today. That takes a little bit. That takes a little throat work, a little mouth work, and then putting it into the proper glass. It was just out of a can. Shane is, you know, he's an amateur, and he snuck some of it in his beard, so that wasn't fun. Chris can tell you that he spilled some, too, so he got DQ'd in the second one. If I go up against him again, I'll beat him handedly. Maybe Dan Bernstein, I don't know his techniques, but if he beat those three guys, I don't know. I saw Mike Chen, wasn't too impressed. Chris Dickens looks like he can do some things, and Connor, you know, it's Connor.
Well, Herbie, I appreciate you jumping on, champ. Thanks a lot, Sofer, for picking up the phone and joining us this afternoon. And we're looking forward to the matchup between you and Dan Bernstein.
Can't wait. Thanks, guys.
That is the champion, Herb Lawrence. We have seen some amazing things here on Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. It's been a wonderful chugging competition, and we appreciate you sticking by us. Dan is now retired to his cheeseburger here at the Budweiser Brickhouse, and the show goes on. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
When I walked up Addison, I'm sitting there going, man, there is a huge crowd to see Bernstein and McKnight. Like, this is crazy. Like, we have really done a great job of promoting this event. And then I realized that they had like a children's concert here. And they were showing Paddington Bear. And so there is an army of children just out here living.
Was there a baby fight?
No, there all the, you know what's crazy, Tony? These babies, like you would expect with all of them being in one place, and then it was cool, and then all of a sudden it got hot because the fog burned off, that there would be a bunch of like crying babies. And there isn't. Like, these kids are just having a blast.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have taken our show to the Budweiser Brickhouse, so if you're in the area, you should come by. Basically, we move like 100 yards from where we would be outside to inside, and that's where we had the chugging competition, and I'm glad that it, hopefully it came off as well as it went here. Because I enjoyed being a part of it, and I enjoyed watching the guys. And shout out to Dan. I doubted the skills, but he destroyed the young bucks. You could tell that he spent quite a few nights drunk in Durham. By the way that he took down that beer, there is a lot of stuff for us to get to today as we discuss what happened in the Cubs-Sox game last night. I've got some thoughts on my consumption of the Cubs-Sox game that I want to get through. But I also want to talk about some of the stuff that happened in the game and some of the bigger picture issues that go with both teams. And we start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Run them down!
The Rundown.
This is your rundown for Wednesday, June 19th. Before we get to the game itself, I think the Cubs fans probably want to know what is going on with one of their best pitchers. Kyle Hendricks has had some shoulder issues that has landed him on the injured list. This is what Jed Hoyer had to say about what's going on with Hendricks.
Well, the test confirmed sort of what we thought. You know, he's kind of dealing with some impingement. You know, I feel like we got ahead of it. You know, we're not sure how much time we'll miss, but, you know, we'll try to take it slow and, you know, take the length of the season into account.
Okay, so, and we talked with Joe about it yesterday on this show, and Joe said, look, he doesn't think that it's anything that's super serious, but anytime you hear pitcher and shoulder, it does get a little scary. The other pitcher that Jed Hoyer talked about yesterday was Craig Kimbrell, and Kimbrell is now pitching with Iowa. Things are going well, but Hoyer says, look, let's not rush Kimbrell to get to the big league club.
Things are trending in the right direction, obviously. I think he's felt good, but we're not going to like rush a judgment on any one outing. We're just going to like try to take this process as we planned it out and try getting ready for the length of the season. There's no question we'll take like the length of the season into account. We know how impactful he is when he's right, and we want to get him right. And if that means patience, then we'll exercise patience.
The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Over to the White Sox, who, before the game, Eloy Jimenez had some thoughts about finding his way to Wrigley Field, a place that he thought that he would end up playing the majority of his career.
Any emotions coming back here from the team, obviously, that traded you to the other side?
It's really good. And what I can say, it was my old team, and I feel a little bit excited.
Do you think your emotions, you'll be more amped up? Is this just another series for you, or is it not?
For now, it's another series. Yeah, I don't want to pull that all the emotions in my head. I want to prepare for the game and be ready and do my job.
Okay, so that was Aloy's thoughts going into the game. How about we get to the game? Things started off fantastically for the Cubs. Kyle Schwarber is really done a good job hitting at the top of the lineup, and he did so again yesterday against Ivan Nova.
First pitch to Schwarber, trailed in the air, deep left field. It's got a chance. Gone. Kyle Schwarber hits the first pitch into the left center field bleachers, and the Cubs lead 1-0.
Schwarber, the problem for the Cubs is the rest of the lineup, which we'll get to momentarily. There was some history that was made yesterday. Cole Hamels, with a strikeout of Ivan Nova, picks up number 2,500.
Cole Hamels needs one strikeout to make baseball history. He will become the 10th left-hander ever to record 2,500 strikeouts, and he might get it right here. It's 0-2 on Ivan Nova. He will be the 38th pitcher ever, righty or lefty, to reach 2,500 career strikeouts. Here's the 1-2. Nova takes strike three, called. Number 2,500 for Cole Hamels, and the video boards are going to have that information. They're going to stop the game. They got to save that ball for his trophy case. Cole is going to toss it into the Cubs' third base dugout, and he's going to get a standing ovation. Again, he's only the 10th left-hander ever to reach the milestone.
That's pretty crazy. The 10th left-hander in the major leagues to get to 2,500 strikeouts. Cole Hamels, good again last night. He has just been a godsend since they made the move to bring him in. Excellent performance from him last night. The Cubs struggled to score runs in this game, and after a couple of defensive misplays, it put the White Sox in position to have a heroic moment. And Eloy Jimenez, after having the bases loaded early on in the game and not coming through, said that's not happening again.
Jimenez in the air, left field. He's your hero tonight. Welcome to Wrigley.
He cracked the bat on that swing and still drove it out of the park. The bat shattered in his hands.
Eloy Jimenez with a broken bat home run to left to make it 3-1 in his last 9 games. Eloy is 12 for 32, 6 home runs, 13 RBIs. So that put the White Sox in a position to win the game. Alex Colome came out to close it down.
1-2. Left field. Tilson makes the catch. June 18th, 2019 is Eloy Jimenez night in Chicago.
That highlight courtesy of WGN, our friend Jason Benetti on the call on the Sox broadcast on the TV side. After the game was over, Ricky Renteria talked about his budding superstar.
He's done some big things for us in the short period of time that he's been here, putting together, much better at bats, and hopefully it's a trend that continues. Again, he's so young and just scratching the surface, and hopefully he continues to evolve and develop as a player and become one of those guys that everybody, kind of relies on in big moments.
So far, so good with Eloy Jimenez. Was this game number 48 for him tonight? And he is he is he's already starting to look like what a lot of people thought he would be. After it was all over, Aloy talked about the interaction that he saw out in the crowd.
It was exactly the thing I say before the game. You suck. Yeah. It was exactly the same, but it was White Sox fans over there too, and they started say you the best, you know, and I was so happy for that.
So the White Sox win, that ups their record to 35-36. The Cubs lose, that drops their record to 39-33. The good news for the Cubs, the Brewers lost last night, so they remain a half game behind Milwaukee in the National League Central. The White Sox are trying to get to 500 again. They will be able to do that if they win with Lucas Giolito on the mound. There is some rain in the forecast, so we'll see if the game starts on time or if the game starts at all. We will have coverage for you right here on 670 The Score starting at 6 o'clock. So that is the rundown for Wednesday, June 19th, 2019. This hour is being brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on 95th Street in Oak Lawn. If you would like to talk about either one of the teams, I would like to open up the phone lines to allow you to do so. 312-644-6767 is the number. When we come back, I do want to share some of the really great content that I had yesterday from both Joe Maddon and from Rick Hahn. So we'll go through in kind of smaller bite-sized versions of some of the things that they said that had an impact on the game or just where things stand right now. Specifically, if you're a White Sox fan, you'll want to stick around for what Rick had to say about where the organization is. We'll do that next here on The Score.
After last night's drama, the Crosstown Series continues tonight. John Lester and the Cubs will battle it out with Lucas Giolito and the Sox. Zach's pregame starts at 6:30. First pitch, 7:05 with Pat and Ron. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of Cubs baseball.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. There was a lot of glee in Washington when Bryce Harper got off to a slow start in Philadelphia. Many fans and media were so happy, they almost overlooked the Nationals' bullpen woes. Well, Harper comes to Washington this afternoon after two rainouts with his batting average up to .247 and, more importantly, his power numbers at 12 homers and 49 RBI. That means, as poor as his start was, he's likely to hit at least 30 homers and drive in more than 100 runs. What should be more important to DC fans is that they play six games this week at home against the Phillies and Red Hot Braves. The Braves have won 10 of 12 and are 2.5 games clear of the Phillies and 8.5 ahead of the Nats. Both the Phils and Nats need to play well in the upcoming series to make sure the Braves don't run away and hide. Harper remains key to the Phillies' hopes. I'm John Feinstein.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. We pride ourselves on providing creative solutions to finance small businesses. I'm here with Paul Sharfman of Specialty Cheese Company talking about the benefits of government-guaranteed lending. We help Paul with both SBA and USDA loans to help him consolidate financing and grow his business.
Each time we've had a financing challenge, the Byline people have said, I don't know how we're going to do this, but they don't say no. They say, let's figure out a plan to work together to make it happen. And by gosh, they do. The philosophy of the small business capital team at Byline Bank and what the team executes so well is working with riskier companies that have potential and mitigating that risk with government-guaranteed credit enhancements through SBA and USDA loans. Very persistent, diligent, understanding people. We tripled our balance sheet overnight.
Byline Bank. We make it personal and listen to what matters to you. On the web at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
Saturdays at 8 a.m., don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees, and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole, along with other health and fitness leaders, and your host, Steve Cashel.
We know the operation works. You lose time by trying non-surgical treatment, so we're going to pull the trigger sooner than we used to, say, 15, 20 years ago.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m., here on 670 The Score.
Dan Bernstein here for my friends at Aloha Restoration. Record rains and storms to start spring here, and every other person I talk to is dealing with a flooded basement. Some service companies just tear out the damage, and you have to hire another company to restore it. Aloha Restoration will take your flooded basement from ruined to restored. Speaking from personal experience,